we're separate today. Here's the reason why. Genesis 1:26 says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our own image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and every other creeping thing that creeps on the earth.'" Men and women both are created in the image of God, but also men and women are very different, right? And so today we want to talk to you about how do us as guys engage with other guys and build relationships and friendships, because we think it is different than the way girls do it. Now, we have similarities because we're both made in the image of God, created in the image of God. Both guys and girls, we both walk, we both breathe, we both have brains, we both need food, we both go to the bathroom, we both have organs, right? Like, we know there's a lot of similarities between guys and girls, but I'll say this, but the how and the why we do things are very different. The how and the why that we do things is very different. This weekend, I was at the men's retreat, and it was down at this place called the Meadowkirk Inn, and it was, it's like kind of out in the country, out in like Western Loudoun area, outside of Leesburg, and there's like the guys in the girls' bathroom, but because it was only guys at the retreat, and there would be no girls there, they had a men's sign up on the girls' bathroom, and like, I almost never walk into a women's bathroom, so it was just very surprising to walk in and see no urinals. Just toilets, right? Like, guys and girls are different. And the other thing that got me was, guys, we don't care if we pee on the toilet. Like, they just don't care, and we don't wipe it down. Like, I have to teach my son, you have to wipe the toilet off. So, guys and girls are very different, but we're both made in the image of God. So, the way that we think about things, the reasons that we do things, and how we do things are very different. And so, we wanted to split today to help you think about, this is how me as a guy, God has created me, and how I can engage in relationships with other guys. And there is, as me and Aaron were talking about this, we were like, we think there is one way that across the board, all guys engage in relationship and how we build relationships and how we do friendships and kind of how we do life. And that is this. Shared activity. Like, across the board, I don't care if you're a guy that says, I'm more introverted, I'm more extroverted, I'm more quiet, I'm more outgoing, I like being inside, I like being outside. Across the board, it doesn't matter. Guys like shared activity. And what do I mean by that? Well, here, I'll give you an understanding. Where ladies, and again, is there some ladies that more inherently they like shared activity? Yes. I'm making a general statement here, but I think it's true. Where ladies are a lot more content to sit and kind of look at each other in the eyes and sort of talk about life, guys, on the other hand, we want to do things side by side and have shared activity and do things together. Do guys sometimes mind sitting across from each other, eye to eye, talking about things? No, absolutely not. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying, if you want to talk about how I think God has created and designed us as guys, it is through shared activity. Some of the examples of this are sports, right? Guys, we love sports. We love to do all kinds of different sports together. We've got things like, some of you like to play baseball. Some of you like to play basketball. Some of you like to play football, all kinds of different sports. And a lot of those are about shared activity, being next to each other, playing together. You don't even need to talk, right? You just want to go do something together. Other things, even video games. You guys, video games, you love, whether it's, you might be in the same room together, maybe you're not in the same room together, maybe you're on a Discord chat together, but the reality is you're doing something together. It's shared activity. It could be, how much do we love just as guys to sit and watch YouTube videos together? Like, who likes I love watching YouTube videos together, right? Like, even just the shared activity of sitting together and watching YouTube videos. And one thing that, this is the first year I've ever done it, but I've really enjoyed doing, fantasy football. And yeah, and even though fantasy football is not like this thing that we're necessarily like walking together, or it's a physical activity, it's still a shared activity together that we can talk about, that we have something to bond around. So, why is helping you understand, why would we split up guys and start this off to say, why is shared activity important to guys? Well, if we want to engage with other guys, if we want to be in our schools, in our neighborhoods, be able to build relationships and build friendships with the guys around us, and I think be intentional about it as God has called us to be. One of the things I said last week to junior high and then senior high before, the main point of that message was God has intentionally placed us where we are for us to be intentional right where we are. Like, God's not like, oh, I kind of just put you there randomly. You're there for a reason. So if we want to engage with the guys around us, I think shared activity is one of the biggest ways that we're going to do that. And so why is that important? Well, God has given you and me the passions, the abilities to be used for his glory so that we engage with others. You relate with others around shared activity because you both enjoy doing it, right? If you enjoy doing something, you want to do it together. It gives you a reason to be together. You like doing it, they like doing it, and it's a whole lot better to do it together. We like having shared activity. So, if you want to engage with the people around you, invite them to do something. Go somewhere together. Don't expect them to come to you. How often do we sit and go, man, I wish someone would come talk to me. I wish somebody would ask me to do something. Be intentional. Be the person that knows what your friend likes to do and you like to do and say, hey, let's go do this together. Very rarely is someone going to say no to that. They want to be invited. They want to go do things together. You know, for me, one of the things that I look forward to the most in my week is on Monday nights, I play on a men's softball team. And every week I look forward to that because it's this time when I'm gonna go and I'm just gonna be able to play on the team with the guys around me. We're gonna talk some in the dugout, we're gonna hang out, we're gonna have this shared activity together. So think about what you already like to do. Like, think about the things that you just naturally already like to do. And something comes into your mind, whatever it is that you enjoy doing, well, maybe you could invite a friend to do that with you, and you begin having that shared activity together. So the first thing is, as guys, the way that we relate, the way we build friendships is through shared activity. But to engage with those around you with intentionality, it can't just stop at the shared activity. There's something even more crucial than the shared activity. If you want to know how to engage with your friends, if you want to take that shared activity to the next level and have an opportunity to talk about deeper things and spiritual matters, there's one key moment of time that you need to know about. It's kind of within that shared activity. It's crucial. It's important. It's essential that we get it, that we understand how important this time is. It's necessary and it's vital. Here's what I want you to do. For just a minute, I want you to kind of turn to your table. I just want to see if you can maybe think about it. If you think about the shared activity you have together, and if you want to take it to that next level to be able to have like a deeper conversation or maybe that can move to a spiritual conversation, what do you think the thing, that important time within that shared activity for taking it to that next level would be? Take just a minute at your table and see if you can think about it. Go ahead. Okay, look back up here. Let me hear some answers. Give me some. Shh, what do you got? Club man. Okay, what? Sorry, I can't hear. Okay, so there's like something more, maybe invite them to church, okay? Okay, so this is like, you're saying kind of one more specific activity that you invite them to? Yes. Okay, ask him how you can pray for him. Okay, sort of taking it to that next level, yeah? Anything else, yeah? Say it again. Oh, accomplishing an activity together. Okay, so you're kind of having a mission and something to go after. Yeah, this is great. Not what I was thinking, but all really good answers. I just wanted to get you to dialogue about it. Okay, I'm going to read a verse to you, and then I'm going to tell you what the answer is. Colossians 4, 2 through 6, and Aaron used this verse last week, but I want to use it again. It says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. So Paul is beginning out in this verse, he's saying, look, the whole idea is what I'm asking you to pray for is that I might be able to have a gospel conversation, that I might be able to declare the mystery of Christ Jesus. So that's where he starts it off. This is what he's saying, pray for this. And if you go to the next slide, the next two verses are this. And then he says this, walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each person. So Paul says this really interesting statement here. He says, walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of your time. Now, shared amongst guys, shared activity together, whether that be with guys within the church, it be friends at school, whatever it may be, when we have this shared activity together, there is a moment in that shared activity that I think is the most important moment if you want to be able to take it from, hey, we're just having this shared activity, to this goes somewhere. And that moment is at the end when the activity is over. And I know that that sounds kind of weird, but if you want to be wise in how you use your time and use the best use of your time, it is at the end when the game is over, when band practice is over, when you're riding in the car from something, when you're in that Discord chat after the round's over, when you're going to McDonald's after the event, whatever it may be, when the event is over, there is something psychologically, mentally, emotionally that people are in a different mindset. Right? When you come to the event, when you come to the activity, when you come to someone's house, your mind is locked in on that activity and the shared activity you're going to do together, which is great because it gives you something to do, right? But when you think about it, when the game is over, it's all done, it's over, you already made it there, you're not trying to rush to get there, it's at the end, is that time when the event is passed and you can just talk about what happened at the event. This is the opportunity for you to take advantage in a good way, to be wise in how you use your time and use it in the best way to have meaningful conversation. I would throw that out there. That's just a simple tool that you can begin looking at and going, man, I never viewed the time after we do something with my friends as the most important time. But I'm praying that you're going to begin seeing like, wow, if I want to do what Colossians says, if I want to make the best use of my time, then it's that time after I've done something that I can then go, wow, I could maybe ask a question there. I can maybe see what's really going on in life because people are just in a better state to be able to talk about it then. So me, John, and Aaron are each going to just share with you now, what is the shared activities that we like to do with people so that you can maybe, we each kind of have a different way that we like to do it. And you can maybe take those as like, okay, I could see how that would work. For me, it's outdoor activity. Anything that's outdoor shared activity is what I love to do. Whether it be hiking, mountain biking, backpacking, playing softball and other sports, going surfing, whatever it may be. One of the things that me and Aaron have done before that we really enjoy doing is we like kayaking, right? We're not necessarily like, man, we got to like sit right across from each other and we've got to like look each other in the eye and talk about the deepest things. Like sometimes we do. But sometimes, like, we've just gone kayaking before. And it's funny, like, when we're in the kayaks and we're just paddling, our bodies are kind of doing something, that we can have great conversation. And we don't even have to look at each other. And you'd be surprised with some of your guy friends that as you're just doing some things, obviously, if you're playing a game, you can't really talk then. But if you're just doing activities, like, you're just outside shooting basketball, you're just kind of playing a game that might lend itself towards just being able to talk more. Like, oh, wow, some conversations can actually come from that. So for me, it's outdoor activity that I love doing with people that gives us, maybe it's, you know, when we're mountain biking, it's a little intense, but when we get back to the parking lot and we're just stopped and we're putting our bikes away and we're chilling, that's when some cool conversation can happen. It's at the end. So I'll invite Aaron up here next and then John will go. So Aaron's gonna tell you a little bit.
Thanks, Lee. Well, I just kind of think of this topic of activity. I feel like there's been kind of different seasons in my life. I feel like at college, when I was at Virginia Tech, a lot of it was around sports. You know, there were, you know, typically most Tuesday nights at 11 p.m., a bunch of my friends all would play Ultimate Frisbee. There's another group on Friday nights that we play sports. There was a Saturday morning group, a Saturday night group. I mean, there was just constant opportunities there. I'd just kind of text a bunch of my friends or knock on their door and be like, hey, we're going to go play this right now and do that. And then going with what Lee said, kind of afterwards, the number of times we'd walk back and we'd stop at Dietrich and get some food, and or we'd sit in our lounge afterwards and have so many conversations and had so many opportunities to share the gospel and build deep friendships with people. It's not that hard of an ask to say, hey, you want to go play some basketball with me, right? You want to go do this activity with me. Most of the time, the guys are like, sure, I'll go do that activity. And after that activity, after we've already done that, then it was way easier to say, hey, now, you know, as we're talking and getting to know them, opportunities for the gospel. Rather than me just like knocking on their door and saying, hey, you want to talk about Jesus? They'd be like, that's weird. But now we've played an hour of basketball or frisbee or whatever, just had a lot of great times to talk. I see this now, even today, with some of my neighbors. Whether I invite one of my neighbors over to play ping pong with me, but you know, as we've played two games, three games afterwards, there's a lot of conversation, and a lot of times we'll be playing and we'll like stop our game because we're in the middle of a conversation, and it's like, oh, okay, yeah, now we should play again. The last weekend, my neighbor had kind of a block party. We were playing, played a lot of cornhole that evening, and you'd play the game of cornhole, and then in between games, there's always a couple-minute lull in between games, and that's where we would have a lot of conversation. And one last kind of thing in terms of hanging out with people, being with people, and having good conversations with them. I'm just going to evaluate a few video games that I've played in the last couple of years, okay? And so when I say the name of these games, please don't be like, that game is trash or whatever, okay? But I want you to think about this, okay? I want you to think about the truth behind these games, okay? Just roll with me, okay? Because I'm serious here, okay? One of the things that I appreciated about Fortnite, okay? You're not listening to me, okay? Shh. Stop it. No talking, okay? One of the things I appreciate about Fortnite is you would go and you would drop, and initially off the rip, there was some action, right? And you would kill a few people, but then you would spend the next like 5 minutes, 10 minutes just farming, wandering around. There really wasn't a lot of action until the end. Again, there was a lot of action. And what happened, I noticed when I played Fortnite with people, is we would have a lot of great conversations as we did that, right? Because there would be that kind of farming time or just kind of wandering around. There wasn't a lot of action going on, but there would be this intense action, then the lull for conversation, intense action, then re-queue where there'd be more good conversation. I contrast that with playing Valorant now, okay? Now, when you play Valorant, okay, a lot of you guys, you'll know, hey, the whole time it's like intense action. There's not really time to have a lot of conversation in there because it is so focused on, hey, I got to make sure I hit my headshot or whatever. You contrast that, a similar thing you can see with Minecraft, right? If I'm playing Minecraft Creative or my Survivor World with my friends, right? There's a lot of opportunity for conversation in the middle of it, okay? As opposed to if I'm playing a lot of high pixel games, right? There's the sweatier maps of Bed Wars, and you're just like, just a sweat. There's no conversation that's happening there, versus Creative. So I guess my point is, I've built a lot of friendships and relationships with people playing video games. That's our shared activity. But there's times where I want to make sure I transition that to even a game where I know I can have more conversations more conversations with him. So there's your video game tip advice.
All right. Thanks, Aaron. So you're my hero, Ben Urich. There we go. No. Yeah, I think just this concept of shared activity is huge. One thing I do love is I love having the boys over to watch football. But I think in terms of, like, specific experiences in my life, I think the sweetest season of fellowship I've ever had was when I was in Tennessee, and there's a group of us guys all in our early 20s at our church. And we just decided we were going to intentionally have these weekly guys' nights where we'd show up, we'd eat food, and then we'd go on Amazon Prime Video and find the dumbest looking movie we can possibly find and watch it together. Like, and we would watch stuff that was like so bad it looked like it was filmed with a camcorder. Like, it was awesome, and we would just laugh at how terrible it was. Like, we just love the fact that someone took the time to make stuff this terrible, and it was just we had a blast with it. But then, because a lot of us, we were creative, we were kind of like, wait a minute, why can't we do this? Why can't we make our own movie? So over the next 9 months, me and these dudes just, like, almost every free night we had, we'd get together and write, do pre-production, and then film this movie. And it was just really awesome, because what that blossomed into is every time we would get together to work on this thing, we'd pray together. And it honestly turned into like an accountability thing too. Cause you know, it was a comedy movie. We all had different ideas, and we had to pray about, like, God, if there's jokes we want to put in this that are not honoring to you, like, convict us of it. So that's kind of like a huge example in my life. It was just deep brotherhood through making a really stupid film that kind of sucks, but it was awesome, you know. So I don't know what that looks like for you guys. That could look like starting a basketball league, I don't know. Yeah,
thanks, John. You can take it. I think what we want you to get, there you go. What we want you to get from this idea of shared activity is that you don't need to, like, think of something super special for me to engage with my friend. Just take what you're already doing and like doing and going, I'm going to be intentional about that. I'm going to be intentional about the time afterwards of having conversation. So you've got about 4 minutes to talk about these questions at your table to kind of help you apply this. If you can throw those questions up there, let's say table share. Turn back up here. Can you hear me? Hello? There you go. You guys are in good conversation. If you can turn back up here, we're going to move on. We're going to move on to the next part. I want to help you go, okay, we just talked about how taking advantage of the shared activity begins a relationship, continues a relationship, and how that time afterward to have conversation is really crucial and really important, and making going, how can I make best use of that time? Well, here's a question. How do you go from shared activity to what we might call kind of deeper conversations, or even going to spiritual conversations? How do you do that? I think there's really one key way to do that. What do you guys think it is? Anybody got a thought? Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, after accomplishing what you did, but what's like a way to move from, oh, we just did that, to then, like, going into, like, about, like, what's going on with their life, and like, maybe going to spiritual matters. Like, what's the best way to do that? Yeah?
Comedy.
Comedy could be a good way. I mean, yeah, I like comedy. Senior high guys, they got a lot of thoughts. What? Asking a question. Questions. Who knows why people like questions so much? He didn't raise his hand, which is totally okay. But if you didn't hear him, you know why people like questions so much? Because people love talking about themselves. Everybody likes talking about themselves. Who doesn't like talking about themselves? So, like, this is really funny. On Tuesday afternoons, the youth staff, we have a prayer time together. So we get together and we share updates, and then we all pray for each other, just the youth staff. And probably, like, I don't know, how many years ago did I start doing what I do? It's probably been like 3 years, 4 years. It's been a long time. I ask a question every week. I ask a question. It's a random question that has whatever just comes to my mind in the moment. And it's really funny. Everyone at one point used to groan, oh, Lee's asking his question again. Like, but they actually really liked it. And now when I don't ask it, John's usually like, what's your question for today? Best part of the week. And you know why everybody likes it? Because they all like going around and talking about themselves. Right? We all like talking about ourselves. So I'm going to tell you this. Seriously, Jesus was an amazing question asker. If you go through, I was doing some research for this message. There is over 300 recorded questions that Jesus asked. Now, some of them are the same ones between the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But 300 recorded questions that he asked. That blew me away. So, I'm going to give you three different categories of questions that Jesus asked that you can now go, when I get to the end of that game, when I get to the end of that match, when we've done this thing together, and there's that great time that I want to use wisely, here's some questions, some ways of questions that I can ask. So, first one is, Jesus asked curiosity questions. Curiosity questions always begin with how and why. Curiosity questions always begin with how and why. Curious questions help you understand why and how the person you are talking to think and do what they do. Here's what questions do. Good questions, go from talking about life to talking about their life. Good questions go from talking about life in general to talking about their life. And curious questions use things like how and why. Here's a couple examples from the Bible. Matthew 6, 26 through 28 says, it's Jesus talking. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And are you not of more value than they? And of which of you, here's this question, and which of you being anxious can add a single hour to his life? Or this one, why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Jesus asked a really simple why question. He goes, why are you anxious about clothing? You know, here's the way that you're probably not going to ask your friend, why are you anxious about clothing? But the thing that you could ask him is maybe they're talking to you about something that's bothering them. And you could ask him a simple question to go, why is that bothering you? Like, so instead of just being like, yeah, that's stupid. Yeah, your parents are whatever. What if you just ask them, why is that bothering you? They're going to tell you the reasons that's bothering you. But when you go into the why, all of a sudden you're beginning to understand, why are they thinking about this? Why is it bothering them? What's going on? Here's another example, Mark 8, 27 through 30. Jesus went on with his disciples to the village of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked his disciples, who do people say that I am? And they told him, John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others one of the prophets. And he asked them, but who do you say that I am? Peter answered him, you are the Christ. And he strictly charged them to tell no one about him. This question that Jesus asked doesn't have a how or a why, but has a who. Because Jesus is saying, no, I don't want to know now what other people are saying about me. I want to know, what do you say about me? So you could ask a simple question to one of your friends. Maybe you're talking, a conversation about spiritual thing comes up. And you just say, hey, to you, who is Jesus? What do you think about Jesus? You know, like, that simple question is going to open up so much more conversation. So Jesus asked curious questions. Jesus asked, these are the best questions. Jesus asked open-ended questions. Open-ended question means it can't be answered with a yes or a no. And open-end questions are good because, again, it's helping someone actually has to think about their answer. They have to think about how they want to respond in an honest way. So Jesus asked this question in Matthew 5, 46. He said, for if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? He asked him this deeper question. He asked him this open-ended question. Why? What reward do you have? In essence, he's saying, like, why are you doing what you do? If don't even the tax collectors do the same thing if you love those who love you? He's getting them to think about the question, to have to think deeper about why they're doing what they're doing. Mark 8, 36 through 37 says, "For what is a profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul?" You know, Jesus asked this question. They couldn't just go yes or no. They didn't think about why. What would it profit a man? So when you're in these times with your friends and you're just hanging out, begin asking them some open-ended questions like, why are you doing what you do? Or, you know, how is school going? Or just keep going with them. Ask them open-ended questions. And the last question that Jesus asked was, Jesus asked challenging questions. He asked challenging questions. Ultimately, spiritual questions are challenging questions. There's no way to get around that because it has someone, challenges them to think deeper about spiritual matters. Now, I'm not talking about confrontational is different than challenging. Confrontational is different than challenging. Confrontational is trying to have a confrontation. Challenging is just bringing a question to someone that they have to think about. Matthew 7, verses 3 through 4 says, "Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when there is log in your own eye?" Jesus is challenging them to say, don't you notice your own sin before you're willing to go to someone else and call out their sin? He's challenging them to think about this. And then again in Mark 8, 36 through 37, I already said this one, but what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? I mean, that's a question that you could ask your friend. I wouldn't phrase it just like that probably, but phrasing it like, what are you really trying to get from life? Like, we're talking about their grades, a relationship they have. Ask them questions like, what are you really trying to get from that? You're helping them think through and have a little bit of a challenging question. So questions go from external life to internal, talking about their life. It shows that you care. And I'm telling you, if you ask questions to your friends, they're going to be like, oh, you actually cared to ask me that question. And when you actively listen to them and hear what they have to say, your friends are going to feel cared for. So I'm not a huge video game guy. That's why you didn't really hear me say much about video games. But I do have one video game reference for you. Who remembers or who has played Halo before? What Halo? Okay, good for you. Even Danny Davis. Let's go, man. Nice. Okay. If you're... I'll give you my reference here. Work with me, okay? I started playing Halo when I was in college. And there was... Forever ago. And there was one weapon combo that was unbeatable. Dual Needlers. Dual Needlers was unstoppable. And I know it's going to sound kind of weird, but when you ask questions to your friends, it's kind of like having that unstoppable weapon combination. Because you might go up to your friend, if you went up to your friend and was just like, hey, can I share the gospel with you? And they're like, okay. But instead, if you begin to ask them questions about like, hey, what's your spiritual beliefs? Hey, to you, who is Jesus? Hey, like, what are you trying to get out of doing this thing in your life? Why do you do? All of a sudden, these questions begin breaking down walls and you will begin engaging them in really deeper conversations. So now give it up for Aaron Osborne.
We good? Excellent. Okay. Hey, just to pull some of this pull some of this together, right? You know, we've talked about doing activities together. We talked about how to take those activities, go a little deeper in our friendships by asking questions. Last thing we want to talk about today is really how do I care for or how do I serve. How do I care for or serve my friends? And to start us off, I want to just read a passage that comes from Romans 12. And I'm just going to pull out a couple keywords, from Romans 12, okay? So it says, let love, and this is talking about our relationships with other people, okay? Let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in showing zeal, fervent in spirit, serve the Lord, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, Be constant in prayer, contribute to the needs of saints, and seek to show hospitality, okay? Now, if I were to kind of look through these verses, pick out some keywords. First of all, I'd pick out the word genuine, right? He says our love should be genuine. I'm not fake. I'm not trying to get something out of you. I'm not just your friend thinking that you're going to give me something back. Other translations will call it like, let love be without hypocrisy, or don't show favoritism. Is it really just, what can I get out of this friendship? Is what he's talking about here. Another one that I hope you definitely see here, Lee's talking about it the other week, is that we should be intentional, right? He's saying, don't be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit. You know, there's an intentionality about it. It says we should be honoring. Honoring, it says, outdo one another in showing honor. Honor is saying, hey, I respect you. I respect what you're interested in. I'm curious about what you are interested in. And then finally, it says at the end, show them hospitality. Be hospitable. So if I just kind of look through this passage, that, yeah, my interactions with people, I should have a genuineness behind it. I should have an intentionality behind my interactions. I'm honoring them. I'm thinking about what they want above what I want, and I am hospitable. I'm welcoming them into my place, right? It's going to be hospitable to the people. It takes me time to kind of clean up my house beforehand. I may have to put some money into it. You know, I'm buying the food so that we are all getting together. As I continue in that passage, it says this, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to what is honorable in the sight of all. Again, this thought of honorable, you see a lot here. In this passage about not being arrogant, but humble, and he talks a lot here about forgiveness, and we see this even more in the next few verses. If possible, so as far as it depends on you, as whatever I can do about it. Now, sometimes I can't do some things about it because of other people. Live peacefully with all, beloved. Never avenge yourselves, but leave to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink, for by doing so you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. If I were to add some more things to my list here, my interactions should now also be humble, that it's not about how I'm better than you, I'm more awesome than you. Another thing, big thing about humility is I want to know about what you care about, right? I'm asking questions about what you're interested in, as Lee was talking about asking questions. If all I do is care about me, I'm going to tell you all about me. It's a sign of humility to ask questions. Forgiving, it talks a ton in that passage. Peaceful. As, again, as it said, as far as it's up to me, I want peace with people. I don't want to be in a fight with you. I don't want to be kind of angry with you. I don't want to have conflict with Ian. Any of those things, right? And then finally, good. These are some key words that I think should characterize my interactions with other people. Okay. So with these kind of key words characterizing, I was just kind of thinking through, what are some practical ways that I can do this? What are some real practical ways that I can be genuine, intentional, honoring, etc., in my friendship? So I got five of them for you today, and then we'll wrap up, okay? So first one, and I say this in a very loving way to guys, okay? But a huge way that you can be genuine, intentional, and honoring to the people around you is learn their names, okay? And I say that, and I say that kind of, you know, people are like, what? Why would you put learn their names up there? I'll be honest with you, the number of guys that I talk to, and they're like talking about their class at school, and you're like, yeah, you know, I was hanging out with my friend, blah, 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 in school. I'm like, well, what's his name? Like, I don't know. He's my friend. You have a friend, and you don't know his name, okay? One of the simplest ways you show honor to people is, I think, by learning their names. Most of you know that I do spend a lot of time in a McDonald's. It's where I do a lot of work and writing things. And I don't remember exactly why, but there was one time pre-COVID, my whole family was with me at my McDonald's. And this one lady comes up to my family, and she's like, oh my gosh, this is your whole family, blah, 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 blah. And she wants to meet my whole family. It's one of the employees there. Her name is Hilda, and she was excited to meet my whole family because every day, well, I don't say every day, at least three times a week, I walk into that McDonald's, and there's Hilda working, and I always call her by her name. I say, hi, Hilda, how are you doing today? And as a response, you know, she just really appreciated me. And if you go into that McDonald's, I can tell you the names of pretty much all the employees that are on the front end there. And they all, like, know me. We all have a good relationship. And the reason why is really simple. Because I sit in a booth all the time and watch. The number of people who walk into a McDonald's and look at the employees there and treat them like absolute dirt. They're like, I ordered this without pickles, and it has pickles on it. How could you guys be such idiots? You put pickles on my thing, right? And like, where are my fries? I ordered fries. Where's the drink? And they just come in and they whine and they're whining crazy, and they don't even realize how much. Do you realize the person who is serving you at pick your restaurant is a real human being? Okay. And one of the ways that we take people and dehumanize them is they don't even have names. And so one of the real practical things that I think that we can do to serve other people is actually learn their names. And honestly, all the McDonald's and other place employees, they really appreciate me. And all I've done is simply learn their names. And ask them a few questions. And it's something that I try to do. I know sometimes junior hires, you're kind of like in your small groups the other week. I'll be honest with you. There was someone who came through in your small groups the other week and took pictures of all the small groups. I do that because I make myself review every one of your names because I want to make sure I know who you are. And that communicates a value to someone when you can address them with their name. Okay, second one there, it says, be willing to do or talk about their interests, right? You know, we were talking a lot already about, you know, common interests, and I do think the vast majority of my friends are people I have common interests with. But one of the huge ways that you value, you serve, you care about other people is that you learn about what they're interested in. You're willing to do what they're interested in. It's not like, look, I play baseball, I only play baseball. You invited me to play football, sorry, I don't do that, I only play baseball, right? But if someone invites you to do some activity, even if you're not the best at it, do it. Try it. You don't have to be the best at everything you do, right? You might be like, well, I'm not really an athletic person. Well, there's other people out there that they're playing basketball. Just try it. Yeah, you can laugh at yourself, and yeah, they might be really competitive and all that sort of stuff, but just have fun with it, right? And it's okay if you're not the best at it. Look, they really like playing this one game, you play the other. If you want to build a relationship with them, you will have to at times willing to sacrifice what you want to do in order to do the sport, the game, the activity, whatever it is that they want to do, you know, and you know, okay,
I'm on. I play softball with RBC's men's team, and there's a bunch of guys that play. You know why I play? It's not because I'm like the best softball player. It's not because I even was thinking about playing softball. Craig invited me to play softball, and I was like, "Hey, there's a group of guys that are getting together doing something. I want to be around these guys." And probably some weeks, Craig's probably like, "You're terrible, Aaron. We should have drafted a better player." But you know, it's also not only being willing to do them, it's also, will you be willing to talk about the things that they're interested in? Even if you're not, you know, playing that sport, and they come to you like, "Oh, yeah, I play baseball." Ask them, "What position do you play? What's your role in that game? Is your team any good? What's your record this season?" You can ask them all these questions about it. If it's about a video game, what type of video? If you say, "Hey, what's your favorite video game?" They mention some game and you've never heard of it. Like, what type of game is that? Is that like an MMO? Is it a first-person shooter? Ask them questions. Why do you like the game? What do you enjoy about it, right? There are so many questions that you can ask just to learn about the things that they're passionate at. Are you on a travel team? Is that, like, ask those questions and be willing to talk about and do their interests. The next one there, where it says plan activities, okay? It says plan activities. If you want to build relationships with your friends, I can't tell you the number of times I talk to students that know people, they're like, and they all say, "I'd really like to go do stuff with my friends, but nothing is really going on." And you're sitting at home being like, "I really want to go do something with my friends." Your friend is sitting at home saying, "I really want to go do something with your friends." The other person is sitting at home saying, "I really want to go do something with my friends." But nothing is organized. So we all just sit at home and we all play our independent video games or watch our own independent YouTube videos. But if one person in that group is willing to send out a group text that says, "Hey, by the way, I was thinking this afternoon, it would be a lot of fun to go play football. You guys want to meet at the Spark at 2 o'clock to play?" I guarantee you, and hey, we're going to need some more people. Everyone invite a few more. I guarantee you'll have a huge group of people that want to do it. But it takes someone who's willing to take that initiative and say, "Yeah, this is what I want to do." You know, I was really blessed at Virginia Tech. My roommate for a couple years, man, that was his gift. And he would just all the sports I played were because he would just be the one willing to DM a bunch of people, knock on a few doors, and say, "Hey, we're playing football in 20 minutes. You need to come." And we'd always have a crew. You know, one of the students that was in the senior high group a couple of years ago, he's now married out of college. I lost count of the number of weddings that he was a groomsman in. And he was a groomsman in all these weddings, and he was like everyone's best friend. And the only thing that he did was just like, "You know what? I want to go bowling tonight." And he would just text a bunch of people, "Hey, I'm going bowling tonight. You want to come? I'm doing X tonight." And he would just be willing to invite people. And they weren't always, you know, we're like, "Well, if I get my S-tier friend, then I'm willing to do it," right? He wasn't just like, "I'll only invite S-tier friends." He would take his S-tier, he would invite A-tier friends, he'd invite B-tier friends. He didn't care. He's like, "Hey, this is what I want to do. And I'd love to have, you know, I'd love to be willing for some other people to be willing to do this with me," right? And yes, I understand that this can take effort, but here's my real simple man challenge to you guys this week. My man challenge to you this week is, would you be willing to coordinate, invite, do something with a couple of your friends? And don't just pick out the besties, but pick out something and, "Hey, this is what I want to do with some friends this week," and figure out a way to organize it, right? And I understand it takes boldness. You may have to clean up a little bit beforehand if you invite them over to your house. But if there's those people that you want to pursue relationships with, go after them. And you might say, "Well, my parents don't let me," or whatever. I guarantee you, if you go to your parents and you say, Mom and Dad, I want to be more intentional about sharing the gospel with my friends, but I need to build a relationship with more of them. Do you mind if we invite three of my friends over on Friday night to watch a movie? I don't know any of your parents would be like, oh, no, that's terrible. I do not want you sharing the gospel with your friends. And it's a bad idea for that. But if you go to them and say, hey, this is my heart, they'll brainstorm, I hope, with you. I mean, my kids know that anytime they want to invite friends over to our house, we buy them pizza, whatever they need, in order that they can have that. Speaking of which, number four, I'll just throw out, there's no secret, a way to a man's heart is through his stomach, okay? Man, if you, the people at winter retreat and summer camp that always have the most friends are the ones that not only brought the bag of candy for themselves, but brought a bag of candy to share, right? If you're willing to kind of dish some out, you build a lot of friendships. If you know what your friend's favorite candy is, hey, we got Halloween coming up in a few weeks. You can stash up there. And maybe you don't like Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. I like Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Lee likes Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. You could bless us each week and just bring in a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup for us. You know, but hey, in all seriousness, that's a real simple, practical way that you can love people and build relationships with people. You know what? There's a guy who lived with us for a while, and every day he would pack. He was a high school student. He would pack two lunches every day because he recognized several of his friends never had enough food, and he wanted to make sure all of his friends had enough food. And we're like, sure. You need to take extra food so you can feed your friends? Go for it. Last thing I'll throw up here in terms of practical ideas to serve other people. Think about ways you can verbally encourage others instead of roasting them, okay? I mean, if I go back to my list here, genuine, intentional, honoring, hospitable, humble, forgiving, peaceful, good, right? One of the ways you honor people is by giving them genuine praise. One of the ways you forgive people is by when they say something rude to you, you don't have to come back with that comeback that just is really rude to them. I know we love to roast each other, guys, but if we want to be men of influence, if we want to be men who reach out to others, if we want to be men who serve others, care about others, it comes from us being willing to have encouraging words to those around us, that we encourage, not roast. Because so many times I think we want to roast other people because it makes us feel better about us, right? I feel better about me because I can roast you. But what God says about you and me already is while you were a sinner and while I was a sinner, the God of the universe sent Jesus Christ into this world to live a perfect life and to die on a cross for your sins and for my sins. And not because you're awesome or I'm awesome, but because he is awesome. He did that for you and for me. He has already given us value. And it doesn't matter what other people think about me. He has already given me value. And I can encourage you because I have been loved, because I have been blessed, because he has been so, so, so good to me. I just want to leave you with this. These are five simple ways that you can practically serve other people, that you can practically invest, that you can practically build relationships with other people. And going back to what Lee talked about the last few weeks, about us being intentional. God is not random with the school you're in, with the sports team you're in, with the neighborhood you're in. You have opportunities to be a witness and a testimony for Jesus Christ that I don't have. Your soccer team won't listen to me, but they'll listen to you. That those people in your school, you have a window into their lives that I will never have. That I believe God has sovereignly placed you in. And will we be people who intentionally build those relationships with one another by doing activities, inviting them to do things, by asking them questions, by serving them, so that gospel that has changed us can change them for God's of God's purpose and glory? Will we take on the role he's asked us to take on as his ambassador? Let me pray for us. God in heaven, I do thank you that you have loved us that much, that you sent Jesus to die for us, that we could have a relationship with you. And God, flowing from that relationship, God, may we be men who intentionally pursue others, who get to know them, who love them well, who build relationships by doing activities, who plan in that, talk to them. And God, would those relationships, would you use them so that eternities would be changed? In your son's name we pray. Amen.